Well, we continue our studies in the book of Jonah, turning tonight to Jonah chapter 3. God willing, we'll be looking at Jonah chapter 3 tonight and next week, and then in the final study we'll look at Jonah chapter 4. So we continue our studies as we turn to Jonah chapter 3 and verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth, from the greatest to the least of them. Then word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe and covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger, so that we may not perish?" Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. I think the opening verse of Jonah chapter 3 is one of the most wonderful verses in the whole of the Bible. We read that the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the first time at the beginning of chapter 1. When God told Jonah to go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach against it. But Jonah quite willfully, quite deliberately, disobeyed the word of God. And he chose to go to Tarshish. He chose to go in the very opposite direction. And so it was God had to discipline his wayward servant. Jonah had to learn the lesson that it never pays to disobey God. And that's why in chapter 2 we find Jonah in the belly of the fish. And as we saw last time, God used that terrible experience in order to bring Jonah to repentance and to restore Jonah back into fellowship with himself. And then we read last week at the close of the chapter how God miraculously delivered Jonah. Chapter 2 verse 10, the Lord spoke to the fish and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Well, if the story of Jonah had finished there, it would have been a story from which we could have learned many, many valuable lessons. The story of Jonah's disobedience, God's chastisement, Jonah's repentance, and God's deliverance. It would have been a story from which we could learn so much. But the amazing thing is this. The story doesn't finish at the end of chapter 2. The story continues. And we move into chapter 3. And we read these tremendous words. That the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you." You see, God not only restored Jonah, he also recommissioned Jonah for future work and service. And that reminds us, though God grieves over our failures, God's grace is always greater than his grief. You see, I'm sure we would probably have been rather reluctant to send Jonah back to Nineveh after he'd failed so dismally. We might have said, well, no, it probably wouldn't be wise to send him back. He failed so miserably the first time. But God's grace always exceeds his grief. And we see here that the grace of God not only brought Jonah back into the presence and favour of God, it also brought him back into the service of God. Not only was Jonah restored, he was also recommissioned. The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Now, there are times in Christian living when we all fail. We make mistakes. We let the Lord down, perhaps sometimes very, very badly. And perhaps sometimes we're tempted to ask the question, will the Lord ever be able to use me again? But you know, the story of Jonah reminds us that in Christian living, failure need never be final. Because our God is the God of the second chance. And he's not only able to restore, he's also able to recommission. Peter, of course, is the classic example of that in the New Testament. You remember how Peter denied the Lord Jesus 3 times with cursing and swearing. But that was at the end of Peter. Peter was restored and Peter was recommissioned. And under Peter's preaching on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls were saved and added to the church. You see, in Christian living, failure need never be final. There's a way back. Because our God is the God of the second chance. And that's how it was with Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Now, we see here that the word that came the second time was the same as that which came the first time. God didn't do a U-turn. God didn't have a change of mind. The second word was the same as the first. Go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. God called Jonah to preach. And that, of course, is the Great Commission that still comes to the church today. Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's what Jonah was commanded to do. He was told to go to Nineveh and preach, because it was through preaching that this great city of Nineveh was going to be reached with God's word. Now, sadly, we are living in days when in many, many churches, preaching has been downgraded. And some are trying to tell us today that preaching is now out of date. They say we live in a visual age. It's the age of the television, the DVD, the computer, the iPad, and so on. And they try to argue that in such a day as this, then preaching is old-fashioned. Preaching has had its day. They say we've got to move with the times. We need to introduce new and different things into our services. They say let's introduce dancing and mime and drama and more music. Preaching is now out of date. But you know, before we jump on that bandwagon, what we need to remember is this, that both Scripture and also church history emphasize the importance of preaching. Paul says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And church history clearly demonstrates that the church has always been weak and impotent when preaching has been in the doldrums. But in times of reformation and in times of revival, there's usually been a very strong emphasis on preaching. And I believe today we need to pray that God will raise up preachers, especially young preachers. I started preaching when I was 23. And I sometimes think, where are the young preachers today? Thank God there are some. But we need more. Faith comes by hearing. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And so this was the word that came to Jonah. Go to Nineveh and preach the message that I tell you. Well, what was Jonah's response this time? Well, rather different from the response the first time. We read verse 3. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And so that was the message he preached. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now, as we look at Jonah's message, let's notice first of all that it was really a very simple message. It was a message that everybody could understand. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. It was a very simple message. And you know, I believe today, in all our preaching and witnessing, we do need to speak with simplicity. We do need to communicate the gospel in a way that people can understand. Now, that of course doesn't mean for one moment that we dilute the message. That is something we must never do. Like Jonah, we must be faithful to the message that God has given to us to preach. But at the same time, we must never forget that we are living in a generation that is biblically illiterate. Today we're moving amongst men and women who have little or no knowledge of the Bible at all. You know, I'm rather fond of doing crosswords. And I was interested to read an article a few weeks ago. And this article was explaining that in most newspapers today, you won't find a crossword that requires any biblical knowledge. Biblical clues, generally speaking, are now omitted. And the reason given for that was this, that most people today, they don't have any biblical knowledge. And therefore, to include biblical clues in a newspaper, such clues are quite meaningless. And so most newspapers will not have any clues requiring biblical knowledge at all. It reminds me of what our brother shared with us last week when he'd spoken to colleagues at work about Samson and Delilah. And they hadn't a clue what you were talking about. You see, that's the kind of society in which we live. You can't really assume that anybody knows anything. And for that reason, when we have the opportunity to share the gospel, we need to do so in a way that people can understand. We need to speak with simplicity. But then too we see that Jonah's message was not only a simple message, it was also a very solemn message. Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. It was very much a message concerning God's wrath and God's judgment. Well, some people today would say, oh, you mustn't preach that kind of message. It will only offend people. It will antagonize them. It will drive them away. Don't speak of judgment. Speak rather of God's love. Indeed, I remember reading some time ago about a fairly well-known preacher, and he said this. He said, when I'm preaching, I try to avoid subjects that make people feel uncomfortable. My job is to make sure that they come back next week. Well, the message God gave to Jonah, it certainly wasn't a comfortable message. It wasn't a popular message. It was a very solemn message, a message of judgment. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And what happened as Jonah preached that message? Well, we see there in verse 5 that God used that message to bring this great city of Nineveh to its knees. Verse 5, the people of Nineveh believe God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. You see, as a result of that message, there was a city-wide repentance. And you know, if you study church history, you see that very often in times of revival, It's been that kind of preaching that God has used to bring multitudes to repentance. And perhaps in our preaching today, we should be emphasizing much more than we do the reality of judgment and the reality of hell. Men and women need to be reminded that they desperately need the Lord Jesus because they are sinners under the wrath and judgment of a holy and a righteous God. Thank God, as we preach the gospel, we emphasize the love of God and the grace of God. Of course we do. But men and women need to be reminded of their perilous condition, their lost condition, that they are sinners under the wrath of an angry God. I remember someone once saying, if you don't get hell in the pulpit, you'll get hell in society. And perhaps that's what's happening today. The pulpit is largely silent on the subject of hell, and society outside just seems to be going from bad to worse. If you don't get hell in the pulpit, you get hell in society. Jonah's message, it was a simple message. It was a solemn message. Notice too, it was also an urgent message. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. In other words, Jonah said, you've got 40 days. But only 40 days. 40 days in which to repent, 40 days in which to seek the Lord. In Jonah's preaching, there was this real note of urgency. And I believe in all our preaching, in all our witnessing, there needs to be that note of urgency. Life is short, life is fragile, life is uncertain. And the Bible tells us that men and women without Christ, they are without hope. And therefore, as we proclaim the gospel, there always needs to be that note of urgency. My grandfather was a Methodist lay preacher for 70 years. He preached his first sermon when he was 18, in his final sermon when he was 88. And when he died, his old preaching Bible was passed on to me. And at the front of the Bible, he'd written these words: never forget, your next sermon might be the very last sermon you will ever preach, or it may be the very last that someone listening will ever hear. It may be the last sermon you will ever preach. It may be the last sermon that someone listening will ever hear. In all our preaching, in all our witnessing, there needs to be that note of urgency. Jonah's preaching, it was simple, it was solemn, it was urgent, but then notice too, it was also very powerful. Because we read there in verse 5 something most significant, something quite remarkable. Because we read that the people of Nineveh believe God. They believed God. Now, they'd been listening to a man. They'd been listening to Jonah. But as they listened to Jonah, they heard not just the voice of a man. They heard the voice of the living God. They knew that God himself was speaking through Jonah. Now, if they'd only heard the voice of Jonah, they might have resented the message. They might have said, oh, the man's crazy. Who does he think he is? What right does he have to come here and tell us these things? The man's crazy. But no, they didn't say that. Or I suppose they might have said, well, if we've only got 40 days left, we might as well live it up. Let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But no, they didn't say that. The people knew that God was speaking. The power of the Holy Spirit was resting upon Jonah and upon his message. And as the people listened, they knew that Jonah was God's mouthpiece, that through the lips of Jonah, God himself was speaking. Now remember, Jonah was in a foreign land. He could scarcely speak the language. And there's nothing here to suggest that Jonah had any great personality or charisma. And yet, through Jonah's preaching, an entire city was brought to repentance. And it was brought to repentance through one sermon. As I look back on my many years in the pastorate, I can think of people who've literally heard hundreds of sermons, and yet as far as I know, they've never really come to repentance. But here in Nineveh, through just one sermon, the whole city was brought to repentance. You see, the mighty power of God was resting upon Jonah. And the Holy Spirit was mightily at work in the hearts of the people to whom Jonah was speaking. And as a consequence, the whole city was brought to repentance. Well, friends, isn't that what we desperately need today? In all our preaching, in all our witnessing, if our words aren't just going to fall to the ground and accomplish nothing, oh, how we need the Holy Spirit to come. How we need the Holy Spirit to work in power in the hearts of those to whom we speak. You see, if people just hear my voice, if people just hear your voice, then nothing of eternal value will be accomplished. What they need to hear through you and through me is the voice of God. That's what they desperately need to hear. And that's what happened in Nineveh. Jonah preached, and the people believed God. Oh, if only that was true of my preaching. If only that was true of your witnessing. If you were to speak, and the people were to believe God, how wonderful that would be. And friends, that's what we need to pray for. We need to pray that as we preach and as we witness, that the power of the Holy Spirit might come upon us, come upon the message we preach, that those listening might not just hear our feeble voices, oh, that they might hear the voice of the living God convicting them of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. That's what happened in Nineveh. Jonah preached, and the people believed God. And as a result, there was this great spiritual awakening. Perhaps the greatest spiritual awakening of all time in the city of Nineveh. But then as we close, let's just notice one other thing. Let's just notice that in a sense, this awakening came to Nineveh only because Jonah himself had been revived. God had to work in Jonah before he could work through Jonah to bring blessing to Nineveh. And surely that reminds us that if our communities, if our nation is going to be revived in these dark days in which we live, then first of all the church must be revived. God must work in us before he can work through us. And therefore we need to pray earnestly, fervently, that God might revive his church. The old hymn says, O breath of life, come sweeping through us, revive thy church with life and power. O breath of life, come cleanse, renew us, and fit thy church to meet this hour. An awakening came to Nineveh, but the real revival was in the heart of Jonah.